Live on Tape, Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between. With award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Workspan's Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. Here are your hosts, Tom and Charles.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Work in Progress. I'm Tom Alexander, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend and podcast partner. It is Charles Epstein. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Tom. Today, we're going to be taking a virtual trip out to Cape Cod to speak with Stephen Brink, the president and chief revenue officer of UFlex Reward, a fast-growing HR tech startup that partners with clients by providing a digital total reward platform to improve the employee experience and enhance the organization's global understanding of the total reward spend. And he was previously the CEO of Associates for International Research, Inc., aka AIR, Inc., a human resources consulting firm dedicated to facilitating global mobility. And, you know, Tom, you know, given these days that many of us are mobile in one way or another, in fact, a colleague of mine once referred to all of the people who are suddenly working from home as expats, you know, to the extent that they're now having to adjust to a new location, in a sense, you know, a different work culture. Yeah. And so I have to assume Steve's work at AIR, Inc. Informs his work with UFlex Reward to the extent that it gives him insights into remote workers and what they need and want from a reward standpoint. And, you know, these are obviously key issues in an environment where managers are struggling to retain their top employees. So this should be an interesting conversation, Tom.
It should be. It should be. And of course, that was a mouthful that, you got out there trying to describe everything he does, but I'm sure he'll put it in an easily fun-sized, digestible way of looking at it. But we're very much looking forward to Stephen Brink. He's coming up next right here on Work in Progress. Stay tuned.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here and there, you're sure to fall in love with old Cape Cod, that old Cape Cod.
Data, the mantra of business today. It's nothing new to World at Work. It's no small feat that they've been collecting data on salary issues for its salary budget survey for more than 45 years. Think about it. 45 years. Curious to know how your company stacks up? HR execs in the know rely on World at Work's salary budget survey. Shouldn't you too? Go to worldatwork.org/salary budget survey to learn more.
Is president and chief revenue officer of UFlex Reward, a fast-growing HR tech startup that partners with clients by providing a digital total reward platform to improve the employee experience and enhance the organization's global understanding of the total reward spend. He was previously the CEO of Associates for International Research, Incorporated, that's AIR, Inc., a human resources consulting firm dedicated to facilitating global mobility. And Steve joins us today from his scenic perch on Cape Cod, specifically Wellfleet, Massachusetts. Steve, welcome.
Welcome. Thanks, Tom. I need you to do more of my introductions more often in these other places. Nice job.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I come at a very affordable rate. Please say hello to my podcast partner, Charles Epstein.
Hey, Charles.
Hey, Steve. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. You know, when we first spoke, I asked how long you've been living and working from Cape Cod and what drew you there. And you simply turned your video cam to your window to show me a stretch of very, very, very scenic oceanfront, which was a very convincing answer, I have to say.
At that time, maybe. Today, not so much. We've got some sustainable winds about 30 miles an hour, and last night they recorded a 83-mile-an-hour gust. So we're getting a nor'easter, what we call up here. So a big storm's coming through on the Cape.
Well, bad for you, good for us.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yes, I was green with envy. That was quite a nice scene. But again, thanks so much for joining us. So you were CEO of Air Inc. for 12 years, which focused on supporting the mobile workforce, expats, people on overseas assignments, mobile workers. I would like to return to this later in our conversation, as I think the definition of the mobile workforce has changed since COVID, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that. But so from there, you joined UFlex Reward as President and Chief Revenue Officer. What drew you to UFlex Reward? What is the overarching goal you're looking to accomplish or problem you're looking to solve as you lead the company going forward?
Yeah, you know, the thing, Charles and Tom, about what, after leading Air Inc. for 12 years and being CEO, that's a pretty long time stretch to be a CEO. And I've always felt that something around a 7-year kind of time frame makes sense. But through that, I was able to retire as, you know, a portion of the executive group, as well as found a buyer for the company as well. So that was a long tenure and very fulfilling. But then as you start going to retirement, one of the things that you really look for to kind of, you know, maybe it's more purpose driven job or whatnot in terms of something that you can maybe give back or really make a difference or a legacy. And Unilever, which was a mutual client of Air Inc., one of the Air Inc.'s larger clients, as well as UFlex Reward Unilever was a client. And I just saw firsthand experiences as how the tool UFlex Reward was helping Unilever resolve some of their issues that they were finding about not getting all the reward information in one place, not being able to do things quickly, rapid deployment, the unfulfilled promises of many of the HR technology that gets installed. So what the tool did was really bring that together and really made a very significant difference to the overall HR at Unilever, which really caused them to, I think, be one of the thought leaders in HR. And so, boy, if you're looking at that and be able to jump on board on that, it sounded pretty good deal there. And so that's kind of how I ended up on there. I've known these guys for a while, and I was very interested in really taking this as a purpose-driven role that I'd like to help them succeed, but also more importantly, help clients succeed and make better business decisions around HR.
Interesting.
Yeah. Your tool aggregates data from disparate HR systems to help organizations transform their knowledge of total rewards data from both the employee and organization's perspective. Now, without getting too technical, maybe just technical enough, walk us through how it does this.
Yeah, one of the things that, and this is throughout almost all companies, the best word I've been able to describe data, HR data throughout a company is pretty helter-skelter, if that's one word, is helter-skelter, because information is all over the place. It's in different point solutions. It's throughout information and the like. And so what UFlex Reward does, it has proprietary information, you know, basically tools that creates rules engines that go out and actually capture that information all in one place. So now companies are able to, or HR departments are able to report and analyze on all the information all the time, not just pieces of the information, some of the time. Mm-hmm. And so instead of seeing these individual projects where you go in and you have to capture this information, it's a one and done type of project. What UFlex Reward does, it's that aggregator, middleware, or platform that aggregates all that information. So then you can actually do the different kind of value added areas. And to be honest, make HR more proactive than reactive.
Interesting. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, the total reward spend is the largest expense that leadership knows the least about. How does your solution change that?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Obviously, Unilever is one of the signature clients for UFlex Reward. And I have to almost, I won't quote it exactly, but the CFO at Unilever even called this tool a game changer. Now, when you get a CFO to start talking about game changing and the like, Because what was happening is, again, there would be requests by finance to find out how much of this particular allowance was paid, or you know, in terms of these different areas and total. Again, Unilever is in 120 countries. So trying to get a handle on all the different allowances, you know, there's a bike allowance in Netherlands. It's all these allowances that are throughout every country that's slightly different. And so having a source of record that can collect all that information in one place and then be able to report on that information to the CFO and then start doing modeling around that. What if we were to make a change with this one allowance or make it consistent around the globe, and being able to see kind of outcomes from that? I think it's very it was very helpful for Unilever in that instance.
Stephen Brink is our guest. He's president and chief revenue officer at UFlex Reward. The theme of your TR presentation in Phoenix was, quote, rewards are required for the new shape of work. Tell us what you mean by the new shape of work and what are the chief characteristics?
Yeah, there was a little add-in before that, though, is the personalization of rewards, but that flexible rewards are required. But yeah, no, you're exactly right in this. So I think there's a couple of things that are going on there. There's two elements, if I could just talk about that one real quick, from the World at Work conference. One was just the changing, you know, scope and landscape of work, and the other is about personalization. So on the first one about the changed shape of work, again, companies are looking, you know, the old fashioned, you know, hierarchy, you know, the pyramid is kind of going away. It's becoming blurred, right? It's almost becoming a circle as opposed to a triangle. Is that, companies need agile workers, people that, that are ever changing and focusing and continue to grow and making changes to what their job no longer fits in a nice capsule job description. You want workers that are doing other things, not only for doing it for themselves, but being able to grow and be able to add value in different ways to the company. So all of that is kind of the shape of the future of work, if you will, is really changing to a more of an agile type of workforce, which then on the flip side, then what does that mean for personalization of rewards? Well, again, we've done for a long time, there hasn't been a lot of changes in reward and how policies and packages are set up. It's typically one size fits all. But every part of our society, we want to personalize. And I use this as you go to Starbucks and you're waiting in line, or a neighborhood cafe, and you wait in line, and the different orders that come in for a cappuccino are just super amazing. And so everybody wants it their way. Well, why can't we apply that same thing to rewards? What I value as an employee might be very different than what you value, because I might have an expensive hobby, or I might be wanting to be financially independent and retire early. So therefore, I want to do more wealth accumulation at a younger age. There's all these things. So why fit that alone if my perceived value is different? Now, this has been going on in rewards. There's, you know, cafeteria plans and benefits where you provide you some choice. In mobility, in global mobility, you have one of the fastest growing kind of policies, what we call Core Flex, where you provide a core benefit, but allow then that expatriate assignment to be able to change what they want to pick, because maybe they have a family, maybe they want to upgrade on education or a bigger house, et cetera. And then the one most recent is remote work. Charles, you mentioned this earlier.
Yes.
And remote work is that you have places like Google and Facebook that basically said, you know what, if you're going to live somewhere that's lower cost of living, we might reduce your salary. Now, holy smoke. So almost when you start thinking of total reward, is where you live an element or a pillar of rewards, allowing you to work where you want to live as opposed to live where you want to work? That is part of almost the total reward equation. Now, if those elements are happening, imagine they'll take this even a larger sector of saying, well, how would you want to split guaranteed income versus variable? If you can get a potential more on variable, it's not a one-to-one. It might be 125% premium if you go more variable. Maybe you're more risk, taking a risk. Or if you want to move more and guaranteed because you're a young family and you're trying to save for a house, or you have, you know, young family, babies, et cetera. So then all of a sudden, maybe you want to shift from variable comp down to guaranteed, but it's at a discount of maybe 25% discount to get the guarantee. So that whole element of personalization is coming. Unilever was one company that piloted a very similar study, though how I just described it, and some with some interesting outcomes.
Mm. Yeah, I tell you, to some extent, you anticipated the question I was going to next ask. But the so-called Great Resignation points to difficulty in retaining and recruiting talent in this current environment. How will the personalization of awards reverse this trend, and to what extent, or how will it promote a more cohesive, happier, more productive workforce?
Well, the first thing I think the first thing you got to mention is just around not only personalization but communicating rewards. So many companies, I'm just shocked about the number of companies that don't provide real time online total reward statement to really engage with their staff to show them all the wonderful benefits, what their salary's at, what their bonus target is at, any equity, all the various allowance and benefits that they provide. To me, that's one stop. What better way to engage the employee population by letting them know all the wonderful things that you value them in them? And then you can even take it a step further about pay transparency and maybe even providing what the market rate is for your job. You know, that's even getting more transparent. But that's kind of one element, is let's first kind of gather all that information on how we reward and communicate that. Then the next thing, if you have all these rewards together, how else can you engage? Well, can you engage them by providing from more flexibility around rewards? So as I just mentioned, I won't repeat it, but again, if you want to put up, you know, I know some companies maybe start with 10% flex on reward or 25%, allow them to actually say, do I really like the bonus program? Does my performance management system at our organization really incent me to do this? Does it motivate me? It's black box, you know, kind of performance measures. And so do I really want to put my reward in that, or do I want a more guarantee? So you start asking in this question. And now the two outcomes of that is, one, you're engaging them, so they're aligning then their reward system on all the allowances and this type of thing to better match their personal situation and personal beliefs. And so if you can personalize that somewhat, you're aligning then again with something that they're satisfied, because they can actually make choice on what they want to do. And if you're having choice, you don't get necessarily those choices in other areas. Like we were just talking about remote work, living where you want to live as opposed to living where you want to work. That to me is an allowance. It's a benefit of actually personalizing your overall reward.
You know, we're intrigued by one of the slides that makes the distinction between recognition that is individual and short term and shared reward that is collective and long term, of course. If you can explain the difference between these two.
Yeah, it's between individual and collective. On individual, what we're seeing is that's kind of saying, like, how did you perform at what job you're doing and this kind of thing, to be able then to set your targeted pay at the value that you're providing the organization. So that's more individualistic and including performance. Now, one trend that we're seeing is, instead of an annual bonus, we're seeing the reward, the recognition is actually happening more real time. There's more throughout the year. So it's becoming much more shorter. So when you perform something well, then all of a sudden you're getting a reward there that would hopefully align that incentive to incent you to do more, versus waiting for the annual bonus cycle and say, oh yeah, that thing I did, you know, 11 months ago, you know, you forgot about that one. But if you can do it real time, that would help. But so that's on an individual basis. The other is more almost a team orientation, right? You're part of a team, and it's the collection of the team that actually delivers the ultimate result, right? And so whether that's, financial targets that the company's trying to hit, sales targets, those type of things, it's just not the salesperson only doing it, right? It's the person that picks up the phone or answers those calls. It's supporting the clients. It's the ride-alongs. It's the product experts. It's the people that are doing the development and making sure it's quality. All of those collectively actually have an overall solution that then why don't we all reward together based on the collective success of the company? And it becomes that you're part of that reward. I have a specific example that when at Air Inc., when the executives retired, I ended up being the only employee with equity. Well, I didn't feel so good. I was a lone ranger there. So what I proposed to the board is I was able to get 50% of the employee population options in the company. And I will make an argument that that one small thing boosted up morale, but it also made everybody realize and focus on what are we doing as a company? Are we getting the best on our marketing? Are we getting best when we travel to a particular location? All of that it was really a boost that everybody collectively was rowing the boat together. So a lot of those personalized kind of individual kind of awards, you're kind of in your boat by yourself. With this, you're actually doing it collectively to get the greater good for the overall company, but everybody shares in that. Everybody gets a piece of that. And I'm pretty proud of actually doing that. So I have some good background and other experience of actually showing that collective actually works. It really boosts, I think, motivation and the collective team orientedness that you really want and that you really need to be successful as a company.
But it's not like one is better than the other. I'm assuming they go hand in glove.
Yeah,
they individual go. And collective. They're just two different things, but they do work together.
That's correct. Because there's even as team, there's always there's always better teams. If you down in Florida, you have Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a little different, right? In terms of on a football team, just that his performance might be different than others on the team, but the collective team can win a national championship.
Now, but why is collective inherently more long term, whereas more individual is more short term?
Because I think that in terms of when you look at a team oriented, the results more line up on the collective side more with financials. And so financials might be, yes, you get the monthly financials and the quarterly. But again, what you also have, though, is from the alignment with the investors. Investors are looking at the overall kind of financial impact of the company, whether that's 1 year, a targeted 3 year or 4 year business strategy that you're trying to achieve, right? And so if you can get everybody aligned what you want to achieve down the line in 3 to 4 years, and everybody's part of that and the vesting schedule works that way, well, everybody is aligned then to achieve this one goal down the line collectively, whereby the individual is happening along the way slowly but surely to reach that overall objective.
Okay, that makes sense. Steve, you assert that your organization's culture needs to be ready to implement the reward system, such as the one we've been discussing. What do you mean by this? When does an organization know it's ready? What are the telltale signs of this?
I think the simplest thing, Charles, is just around is it a type of company that takes personal accountability, or is it one that's more paternalistic? And if you're a company that's more paternalistic and that I'm going to give you all the answers and this type of thing, then that's probably not a good play. If it is, if it's more about personal accountability and the like, and because again, with any personalization, you could make a wrong decision. So who owns that? The person or the company? Now you can put guardrails on, which I would highly recommend to prevent some major decisions, but people are making decisions of choice. And when anytime you have decisions of choice, you can make, you can have side by side two people make different choices and one might get rewarded more doing basically the same thing. Are people okay with that? Because they made a choice. And anyway, so from that perspective, that's what I would say is that make sure that the company is okay about personal accountability in your organization. There's some other elements that you really want to strive for too. For example, you know, how homogeneous is your population? Generational gaps and different generations at your organization, well, a personalized approach versus one size fits all is probably better for that as well. So there's different elements around sure. to focus on personalization of rewards.
Yeah. Well, you know, it really is quite amazing when you walk us through this, how central rewards are to so many aspects of today's organization.
Definitely. We all know reward is pretty important in everybody's mind there. You know, it's the first thing that people think about. Might not be the only reason that they've selected a role or leaving a role, but it is typically up there as a need to have, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. Particularly everybody now is you talk about the new shape of work and the workplace has changed and remote work and hybrid work and so forth. And it's a real challenge. And obviously people are talking about it from a compensation standpoint, from a culture standpoint, from a reward standpoint. Obviously these things need to go together, but the rewards component, particularly you make a very strong case for personalization, given how, you know, the cultures are becoming more and more heterogeneous. Obviously, there's more focus on diversity and inclusion. So you see really where rewards fits and how central it really is.
Yep.
Well, Steve, we really do appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Charles.
Stephen Brink was our guest. He's president and chief revenue officer of UFlex Reward. It's a fast-growing HR tech startup that partners with clients by providing a digital total reward platform to improve the employee experience. Steve spoke to us today from Wellfleet, Massachusetts. This is Work in Progress. Back in a moment.
Data, the mantra of business today. It's nothing new to World at Work. It's no small feat that they've been collecting data on salary issues for its salary budget survey for more than 45 years. Think about it, 45 years. Curious to know how your company stacks up? HR execs in the know rely on World at Work's salary budget survey. Shouldn't you too? Go to worldatwork.org/salary budget survey to learn more.
Wrapping things up now on Work in Progress, along with Charles Epstein, I'm Tom Alexander. Very interesting perspectives from Stephen Brink today, Charles.
Indeed. If we had to create an all-star team from our previous guests, Steve would definitely be on that team, Tom.
I would agree. Figure out where he's going to start. You know, maybe he's at the Keystone, you know, or somewhere or in the hot corner. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was a really enjoyable conversation. Really enjoyed speaking with him. I just wish I didn't ask for that glimpse of the view out his office window. We've had guests on with some very nice virtual backgrounds, but his was definitely at the top of the list of actual backgrounds. And I have to admit, I'm a little jealous.
Yeah. Well, you know, Cape Cod is quite the idyllic spot. One of the great places in the entire U.S. Just a beautiful. Have you been to Cape Cod? I'm sure.
Yes. You know, years ago, was it, you know, yeah, Martha's Vineyard. I've been at Nantucket. I've been, you know, various places in that area. So, yes, indeed.
Yeah. As a young man, I would go there with my folks in the summertime and for a couple of weeks. And it was just loved it. Just a beautiful spot.
It really, and the summer, of course, it's optimal.
Well, yeah, has to be the summer.
Yes. All the winter is it's beautiful. It just may not be the most hospitable environs, but it is beautiful in the winter as well.
Well, so, you know, Charles, I think I agree with that, but I think you and I have both been somewhat spoiled after living down here for quite a couple of decades here in South Florida. You would develop a low tolerance for colder.
Well,
weather.
You know, it's interesting. You know, obviously this is optimal time. People are starting, the so-called snowbirds start to come down around this time as it gets chillier up north. But I've been down here for 20 plus years, and I know you've been down here for 20 plus years. And I don't know about you, but I've never completely made my peace with Thanksgiving in 70, 80 degree weather, let alone starting to see people stringing Christmas lights in 70, 80 degree weather. I still find that incredibly disorienting.
It is a little odd, I will admit. But then, the whole legend of Christmas really does take place in the desert. So let's clear that up. You know, I mean,
maybe. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. Good right. point. So, Mr. Santa Claus.
Yes.
Obviously comes from a chillier climb.
Yes, so, he does.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, we're sort of in the middle of those two environments. And I guess, no, that's a good point, though. So maybe that'll help me get my mind around this.
Yeah, I think eventually you'll reconcile that and come over to the dark side.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, on that note.
nice little departure there. But coming back to the point, it was interesting, you know, speaking with Steve, particularly interesting, how he made the point that the total reward spend is the largest expense that leadership knows the least about, and the ability to aggregate and connect every item of reward data from the many disparate systems through the organization, which is what his company does. That should obviously help bring that to the surface for management. And from an employee retention standpoint, it's obviously critical that companies can communicate the value of these total rewards. And Steve did make a compelling case for the efficacy of personalized rewards, rewards that match your lifestyle and life cycle, which is how he succinctly put it. I thought that was very nicely put. Yeah. And it's also, obviously increasingly important, the increasing diversity of workforces. So it's a practical solution, but also one that sends a very good message and implicitly underscores an organization's DEI sensitivity. So, covers a lot of bases.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. And of course, we would like to thank again, Stephen Brink, for joining us today on Work in Progress. And of course, we'd like to thank you, as always, for your listenership. It means a lot. Thanks for listening.
Oh, I thought you were about to thank me, Tom. Okay. No,
that goes without saying.
Let me share that. And to bring this back to our little departure, our little digression, talking about Christmas and Thanksgiving in 70, 80 degree weather, let's suggest that for those who are starting to do their Christmas shopping, you put UFlex Reward in your Christmas stocking. Not a bad way to go.
And don't leave the cranberry sauce out in the sun.
Yes. And I hope Steve is still listening while we're chatting. So he appreciates the plug.
I think he will.
So.
Thank you, Stephen Brink. We appreciate it. And we'll see you all next time right here on Work in Progress. For Charles Epstein, I'm Tom Alexander. So long, everybody.
This has been Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between, with award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Workspan's Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. For more, visit worldatwork.org/workinprogress. That's worldatwork.org/workinprogress. Join us next week for another edition of Work in Progress.